So the quarters were nicer on the...
Oh, beautiful quarters.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
What kind of, you know, describe what you would expect on a Sealand ship.
You mean what kind of office on this ship? I was on several Sealand ships.
Yeah, I mean, were they different from ship to ship, or...
Yeah, the classes of ships, they were.
So the quarters were different?
Yeah, this was the first, the SL-18s, they had good quarters on them.
Uh-huh.
And, before them, though, they all had, because they was all World War II ships, they had quarters you had on World War II ships.
Yeah.
But these ships, everybody had a room, every man had a room on these ships, and all the other ships they built after that. But these had real big offices, big rooms. I've never seen a sea cabin as elaborate so as those sea cabins were on those ships. You it was like an apartment up there. You had a stove and all that stuff there. You know. And these ships, like I say, we maintained 33 knot schedules on them. And Sea Lion wanted the publicity out of it too, of all that speed and maintaining these fast ones. They used to indicate, well, look, you can take a... We're not trying to tell you not to do anything unsafe, but this is a real top priority, making these schedules, this 33-knot schedule. And they more or less inferred that, well, we can take a little bit of damages if to maintain the schedule, but a little bit of damage has got to be a lot of damages. In the Atlantic Ocean, you never build a damn ship as big as it is out there.
So they were pushing it.
Oh yeah, and then they did. These stores had a lot of damage. Quite often have $10-12 million worth of damage on a trip, or you'd have to go to the shipyard in Europe over there to.
Yeah. Did that change over time? Or did they realize?
Yeah, it changed over time. It did. The red trip was too costly. The price of repairs was too much. But then they put them on a 24-knot. We could make that without any problems.
What kind of damages would you sustain if you're going that fast?
Well, mostly structural damage, you know, to the hull, frames, and what have you, particularly the bow area.
Like
those ships, give me a picture and I'll show you. This bow, they sacrificed everything on this bow for speed.
Mm-hmm.
That box girder, that's part of the integral part of the framing on it, was very little from about right here on up. Now, from here to here, you're talking about probably 250 feet. And instead of having chains or rails, they had bulwarks. You know what bulwarks are, right? And they had freeing ports. When this ship would dive off into a sea, you'd probably pick up 15,000 tons of water. And what it was, they didn't have those bulwarks, if they'd have put chains up here around on the bow, a lot of ships do that now. Mm-hmm. That water could run off because it would pick up all that water, and then freeing ports, it would take it a little while to get that water. And these ships they sacrifice so much for speed that where you have least resistance against the water that when she dove off like that in there, she'd dip down. And then it would just take a while to run off, and you just didn't have enough strong framing up here to withstand that, you know. And it would crack those frames, bend them, you know.
Bend them, yeah.
You know, always tear off this, you can't, there it is right there. They had an eyebrow breakwater up there. And they started coming across here, and the seas would knock these windows out of the wheelhouse. The other skipper, when I was on the Galloway, he'd lost four or five winders. I'd never lost one until 1979 or 1980. And it was a very freakish thing happened. We was down southeast of Cape Race, Newfoundland, and we'd been in some pretty good weather. And it was long in April, and we were getting a lot of daylight, and the second mate, we had all second mates. She didn't have any third mates on these ships. She had a chief mate and five second mates. She had two day working second mates. One of them they called a cargo mate. The other guy, he was kind of like a purser. They called him the paper mate. He kind of done purser duties. But I asked the second mate, I said, it was about 10 minutes before. I said, you wrote your log book up yet? He said, yeah, I have, Captain. I said, that's all right. I said, we had it down about 19 knots. I said, we're going to kick it up to about 25 knots here at 4 o'clock. And I said, just wait. I said, I'll do it for the next watch. You've already got your logbook real good. It's only 10 minutes. We'll do it then.